Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah, chapter 41, reading from verse 17. This can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 726. Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand, that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Blessed be the word of the Lord.
And we read again in the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 4 at verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 at verse 18. You'll find this on page 968 in the Pew Bible. 968. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he open our minds and our hearts to his truth.
Well, good morning. It doesn't seem so long ago since we were here telling you about our pending trip to Tanzania. In fact, it was just November last year. And so here we are now about to set off to Peru. And we have the special privilege this morning of having the Girls Brigade with us. So good morning. I wondered if I could borrow two of the girls this morning. Just to make sure I've got this the right way up. Do you think one could take one end and one the other and hold it maybe as high as you can? I thought maybe I should show you where we've been and where we're going. So, obviously we came from Mogae and we went right down to Tanzania down here to Lake Victoria. And a week on Monday we're going over down to Peru, to about this area here in Peru. Okay girls, thank you. Will I help you roll it up again? So I'm going, or did go, as a retired midwife. And some of you may have watched a Call the Midwife on television. I have to say at this point that I was born after the Second World War. But some things in midwifery and maternity services don't change very much. I shared with you, I think, last year that I had some concerns when I went out to Tanzania. The Vine Trust had said that they hadn't really developed any midwifery or maternity services as such. So I really wasn't very sure what I'd be doing in a Tanzania. So we left here from Mogae and arrived in Mwanza, a town of about 2.5 million people. And after a 20-hour journey, we were really quite tired. So the next day, we sailed to our first island of Akuza, which took us about an 8-hour journey up on Lake Victoria. And we arrived there in the darkness about 8:30 at night and really quite tired from travelling the day before. And we were having our meal about 8:30 and decided to have an early night. The doctor on the ship, this Dr. George, approached me and he said, are you all right about delivering the baby, that is? And I said, yeah, that's not a problem. I said, when were you thinking of? And he said, now. So at that time at night, it was 9:30, it was total dark outside, so I had to climb out the boat. And I'll maybe show you a picture of the boat here. It's not exactly the largest boat in the world. This is the Jubilee Hope. So I climbed out the boat onto a sort of orange fiberglass canoe. It did have a motor on it, thank goodness. And I had, with the doctor, a senior student midwife called Constantine, and a senior male nurse from Africa as well. And out into the darkness, couldn't see a thing, couldn't even see this island we were going to, and got onto the shore and by torchlight went up to a sort of brick shed, really, for want of a better word. And there was this lady who was in labour. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I delivered a little baby girl, and all was well, and I just felt what a real answer to my prayers and your prayers, that at the very start of our trip with the Jubilee Hope, something very special had happened. However, the story doesn't actually end there, because the next day, or the next morning, we went off onto the island, and we met the other people there, and I met, obviously, the baby girl again, and the mum and dad, and all were doing well. And I spoke to the director of the Jubilee Hope, and he informed me that they had really been praying about this mother and this pregnancy, this baby, and had some real concerns about their safety and her well-being. I'm not sure what the problem was, but I was just told there were real anxieties about this. So I thought afterwards, what an answer to their prayers. This woman had been in labour 14 hours, and within an hour of our boat reaching there, we were out there with a team, a doctor, a midwife, a senior student midwife, and a very experienced nurse, out onto this island that had no running water, no electricity, and delivered this woman. And so it was a very special answer to their prayers. And in the UK, you wouldn't even get these services for a normal delivery. So it was really very, very special. So we're now off to Peru. And thanks to Janice McLean from St. Paul's, she contacted Rona and I by email, telling us that, sending us an advert from the Vine Trust, saying that they were very short for volunteers for these 2 weeks in March. And so we both sort of swithered about what we should be doing. And anyway, independently, we both thought, well, why not? Why not go? And there might be some reasons maybe why we should not go, maybe not go. And one of the ones that came to mind was snakes. Apparently, there's snakes there. And we're told that the likelihood of being bitten is very unlikely, but if we are bitten, it's likely to be fatal. And as Mr. Buchanan was telling the Sunday school this morning about getting dressed, we've been told to shake out our clothes and shake out our shoes because there may be scorpions about, and so we'll have to look out for them. And as long as we sleep under a mosquito net, we'll be safe from the bats that are about. And we have to look out for poisonous frogs. Apparently they're bright-coloured frogs, so we have to look out for poisonous frogs. And of course, we've got to keep away from these cute monkeys that may be around. So there seems to be quite a lot of wildlife out there. and might see another Paddington Bear even in Peru. So we have lots to look forward to. What our services will be out there, we're not quite sure. Because when we went with the Jubilee Hope, they had only been there about a year and a half, whereas the Amazon Hope has been there for about 15 years. So they've got a lot of the services up and running. I was involved in the Jubilee Hope with a vaccination clinic, an antenatal clinic, where you're immunising the babies against the diseases we have here. And that all these services will be in place with the Amazon Hope, we expect. So we value your prayers, and as we go on, and until we come back a fortnight from a week in Monday. So thank you. I'll hand you over to Rona, who's going to tell you a bit more about the Vine Trust.
Right, I'm not as good as Marilyn. I need notes. Last year, when I was thinking about the trip to Tanzania, I made a very big deal of it. I thought, was thinking about it in February, and I picked the trip as far away as I could manage in November, and I thought, that gives me 8 months to read about stuff. And I went down to a course in London, run by the Christian Medical Fellowship, and that just was worse. That terrified the life out of me. I met a lovely GP down there, also retired, who was going about saying, what if there's no dentist in the boat? I'll have to learn how to pull teeth. And I thought, I'm not going to learn how to pull teeth. Other people can do that. That's not one of my skills. There was a whole day on delivering babies. This is before I knew that Marilyn was going to come. The whole day on delivering babies, and a workshop on what you did if the baby's shoulder got stuck. It's 40 years since I helped to deliver a baby, and this was just all getting bigger and bigger in my head until Marilyn said she was coming. I thought, oh, well, that's all right. She can deal with the shoulder distortion. As it turned out, there were 6 volunteers. One of them was a consultant urological surgeon from Edinburgh. There was a dentist, ex-army, and his wife was assisting him. And there was a Tanzanian dentist. So there was too many people for the dental surgery. And it all just fell into place. Really, we do believe, because of your prayers, that all our fears and anxieties were just kind of melting away. When we got to the boat, a couple of the things that happened was there was a bit of hesitation, because we were supposed to be going to New Islands and assessing the situation in New Islands, and the letter of approval hadn't come through, so we weren't going there. Change of route. And the other thing they informed us about was that the certificate of seaworthiness had run out. So that had to be kind of renewed by the following day, or we weren't going anywhere at all. But I remembered watching, there was a series of 4 episodes on STV called The Epic Journey of the Jubilee Hope, and it was how these retired seamen had sailed the boat from Greenock round Africa, right round the bottom, up to Mombasa, taken the funnel off, put it on a low loader, took it across country, had to move electricity cables. And these weren't superheroes. These were somebody like your grandpa. And that encouraged me more than anything. These were ordinary people taking up a challenge and doing something really extraordinary. And I thought, on the first week in the boat, I thought, well, that's just what happens with this boat. Things happen all the time. There's wee obstacles. God sorted it out for the seaman who took that boat to Africa, so he can sort it out for us as well, and that's how it worked out. I'm not nearly as worried about going to Peru, because the Vine Trust did try to tell us that it's you may be searching for your textbook of tropical medicine, but in actual fact, a lot of it is much more understandable stuff. A lot of the diseases we saw in Tanzania were to do with dirty water. The readings were very good this morning about water. Clean water is something we take for granted, but the people, we watched people in the villages, like you would have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get into the shower if you wanted to be clean. And then in between then and the morning meeting at 7 o'clock, you could go up in the top deck and look at the people coming down to the lakeside and filling their buckets and filling their basins. And they took that water back up to their house and they washed with that water. And they also drank some of it. And it really was quite dirty water. So, and the similar situation will be in Peru for the people there. The Vine Trust describes itself as a volunteering organisation, connecting people to change lives. And in case there's anybody here thinking, well, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a midwife, so I can't go, that's not true. They run groups for pupils and teachers where they go out, I think mostly in Africa. No, they do it in Africa and Peru, and they can help there with all sorts of things. And they run home building expeditions. Some of you will know all about the involvement in chemo in Peru. So they help to build orphanages, or they help to build small homes for people that only live in shacks. Last summer, when Mr. Buchanan's friend Albert Bogle came to preach, he was the man who started the Vine Trust. And when he left that church, he persuaded Willie McPherson, the next minister, to take on not just the church but the Vine Trust as well. And I asked him, who had the vision to sail a not very big boat across the Atlantic to the Amazon? And he said, oh, that was Willie. And I said, how did you get that? That's a huge idea. And he said, God told him. We've heard the story from the Bible about Jesus saw the fishermen at the lakeside, and they were doing what they'd been doing their whole lives. They were very good at fishing, they knew what they were doing. And when Jesus came to them, he said, come and follow me. And they did that. They just left their nets, they left their former occupation, and they went with Jesus. They left what they were comfortable with, and they followed Jesus into the unknown. I have a friend who likes the Glasgow expression, I can't see round corners. And what she means by that is, we don't know what's coming next. None of us knows what's coming next. We don't know what we'll have in the future, whether for good or bad. But the most important decision of our lives is choosing to follow Jesus. Because we may not know what's coming to us, but we know who will be with us. And he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. There's a very famous painting of by a man called Holman Hunt, of Jesus standing at a door in a wall with a lamp, and there's no handle on the door, and it's supposed to represent the verse in Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman will open the door, I will come in and eat with him. And Jesus is not just wanting to come for his tea, he's wanting to come and stay. And the reason there's no handle on the door is that that's the door of your heart, and you have to open it from the inside. I think that's the most important decision that we can ever make, to ask Jesus into our hearts, and we know that he will travel with us wherever life takes us.